This episode is brought to you by Affinity, a relationship intelligence platform that empowers teams to find, manage, and close high-quality deals. Find out why firms like Octopus Ventures, Dawn, and First Minute Capital choose Affinity at affinity.co. Networks are everything. Don't forget to mention you're a friend of Venture Europe when you chat to the team.
Hey everybody. Welcome to a new episode of Venture Europe with me, Colleen Fabry. Our guest today is Julian Clay, co-founder and chief operating officer of AV Medical. AV Medical is a Munich-based health tech company that runs patient-centric, tech-enabled medical practices that provide a convenient, personalized, and holistic digital and physical patient experience. They recently raised a 50 million euro Series B round led by Balderton with participation from Eurozero, Hill Capital, and the UiPath founder and CEO Daniel Dines, among others. During this episode, we'll discuss about his career path from pursuing medicine to becoming an entrepreneur, how to learn to trust your gut instinct, and the future of healthcare. Please enjoy this honest and wonderful conversation with Julian Clay, co-founder and COO of AV Medical. Hallo, wie geht's?
Sehr gut, danke. Hi, Callum.
Alles gut?
Sehr gut. Caught me off guard.
How is Munich?
It's nice. It's pre-Christmas phase, so just a nice time of the year. I enjoy it. This week, I'm going to buy the Christmas tree. It's very hectic, but at the same time, you just look forward to this calm period that you have in front of you, right? That's really nice.
So what is your favorite place between home and office?
It's the mountains. I just love going there. You can always combine it with like exhausting yourself to a certain degree, right? Whatever it is, if you take a bike, if you just hike, or there's like, it's difficult to be in the mountains without working out to some degree. So this is to me why it's so relaxing that you always do something, or you take a swim in one of the lakes, right? So yeah, it just brings you down much more than, you know, just walking around.
Were you always the same? Like, were you always like, this was like your go-to relaxing?
I didn't know that actually until a friend of mine took me to the mountains kind of in our teen. I come from Western Germany and there are no real mountains, and my family wasn't into that. So I didn't ski, I didn't hike, I didn't know the mountains. And then a good friend of mine, like his parents are coming from southern part of Germany, and he every winter, every summer, they went to the mountains like all the time. And he was my best friend. He still is my best friend. And he just took me. And so he introduced me. And you know, the funny thing is, like, people from southern Germany, they're not always the easiest, right? Like, they can give you a hard time. And so it's like you need to get accustomed to a certain degree. And for me, it was much easier having a friend who like know how everything works, right? Because you typically don't dare to ask so many questions, and especially as a teen, right? And then like, he knew how things are done, right? How you rent skis, how like everything works on the mountain. And then he introduced me, and then I started loving it.
Interesting. I also discovered that the older I get, the more I want to be close to nature. So the way that I will maybe recharge when I was younger, I would just go out, you know, but now, like, the older I get, like, I just want to go into the forest. I just want to go into the mountains. I just want to go for a swim.
Yeah. It's the same for me. I remember one time I was on a BCG project, and I was like totally overworked, right? Sitting on my computer, like 16, 17, 18 hours a day. I don't know. And I dreamed of buying my own little forest, right? I didn't know how I came up with this idea. And I still have it in my head since then, right? It was totally random. Like which kid would think about buying a forest? But at the age of, I don't know, 26, 27, I suddenly was like, oh, how great would it be if I had my own little forest where I could just go there, and I don't know what to do, but just enjoy it. Yeah.
So how close are you to that dream? Still dreaming about that?
I'm still dreaming about it. I think I got a little bit closer. So actually, like, I think about buying a house at some point over the next years, right? And this house ideally has a little yard. So that's at least a start, right? I don't know if I ever have my own forest, but at least like starting with a yard. So that would be step one.
I will hold you accountable, and all the listeners will hold you accountable. We'll ask you, like, maybe in 2-3 years, hey, have you realized, you know, like, that dream to buy a house with a forest?
Please do it. It makes me achieve goals much better if I have someone to hold me accountable.
Exactly. And also, you mentioned BCG, right? So if we move and maybe we look a little bit at your career, you have a very interesting career, right? I saw on your profile that you were a research assistant and had a practice here in cardiac surgery. And I was wondering, like, how does one go from assisting in performing heart surgery to becoming an entrepreneur?
It's a long way. So maybe first of all, I wasn't doing the heart surgeries myself, because as a junior, you're not allowed to do much, right? So, but yeah, I was in that department, and I'm coming from a family of doctors. So my father is a doctor, my mother's a nurse, my brother's a doctor, right? And then my cousins. And so I was thinking, like, very broadly what I would study after finishing high school. And there was, like, everything on my head. It went from, like, law and business and history, biology, like across the full spectrum, what you could possibly do, journalism. And I think I just took the safe bet. Looking back, right, I was 18 or 19 years old, and I was overwhelmed what to do. A lot of people just take a year off, right? And I probably could have also taken a year off, but I just did the easy thing, that I had the most information from my family, and that was just, like, how medicine works, and it's a good thing, it's safe, right? You know what you're getting, and I could ask people, right? And then I just started somehow, because I just thought, like, okay, you have to start with something, right? So and I started, and as always in life, once you start with something, you make friends there in med school, and, like, then there's step one, and then you want to do step two, and then there's the next one, the next one, the next one. And then was at some point that I looked back, and was already 3-4 years into med school. And I love medicine, right? It's really, really, really interesting. It's so interesting to learn how the body works, right? You can apply it to so many things in your day-to-day, right? On exercises, on nutrition, on... Also, you get asked a lot, right? Your friends, they ask you a lot with everything, which is kind of nice, right? Because you think, like, hey, maybe I do have some value that I can contribute. Yeah, and then I was just, like, all into med school without, like, ever wanting to go.
So then, like, what happened? Like, in which step that you just described, you were like, you know what? I want to go into consulting. I want to join BCG.
That was difficult. That really wasn't easy to take this turn, right? So healthcare or medicine, it's very conservative. It's like, you do things and you know, I do this for 30, 40 years, and, like, this is my career plan. And this is not like, hey, let's do something else. Hey, let's brainstorm. Hey, there are, like, opportunity X and Y, or, like, I don't know, this new saying that every challenge is an opportunity or something like this, right? This is not how medicine typically works. So, like, sometime into med school, I realized this is probably not something I want to do all my life. And this was not a nice feeling, because this was what I was doing. So I didn't want to do it, but I didn't know what else to do. And I woke up every morning going into the days again and again, knowing that this really doesn't bring me where I want to be at some point of time. And then I started looking around, and I had no idea whatsoever, right? As a med student, you're heads down, right? You don't see what's going on outside, right? All your friends, they all study medicine. Like, you're in a bubble, right? It's because there are also a lot of students, right? It's like, it's big semesters. And you're always working, you have another job, you do research at the time, right? You're in the clinic all day. So you don't see a lot of other things. And then I started just Googling, like, kind of probably my first question on Google was, like, what is there in the world or so? I don't know. And yeah, I just stumbled over some offers targeted to students by consultancies, like the big ones, right? BCG, Bain, McKinsey. And I just applied there without having any idea what I would expect. And they invited me to do a workshop as a student there.
Wonderful. And how did you do, like, through the case interviews? Like, have you prepared, like, after you were invited, you're like, oh shit, how do I do this? And then you kind of Google, like, how are the BCG interviews? You went and you studied to become better at case interviewing. How did you go about it?
I took it pretty serious, to be honest, right? I could not tell a story of, like, oh, you know what? Like, I'm so smart. I just walked in and nailed it. No, absolutely not. So I was afraid. I was scared, right? I was like, because at that point of time, I knew this is what I want to do, right? I knew I don't want to start working as a doctor after finishing med school. Like, I knew I wanted to go into consultancy because I knew this would just bring me further. And that, like, increased pressure. If I had, like, whatever, right? I just tried. No. And then I finished med school, right? And until the last day, you're just studying, performing, doing exams. And I knew the grade was important to me, right? So I couldn't just skip it and be like, I do something else, it doesn't matter. No, the grade I got in medicine mattered for consultancy, right? So I had to ace it too. And then once it was over, all my friends started working as doctors and I was like sitting at home and reading business books. And they were making money. They like started off in their lives and it was a running start because they just started out of med school and just continued. I was like sitting home and yeah, it didn't feel good, right, to myself. And then I was reading business books and I didn't know how the outcome would be, but I started preparing. So there was like this program that online you could find matches of other people who would also prepare for consultancies, right? They was just like, yeah, all over the world. And so I registered and I was just like talking to random people and we're just challenging ourselves on how to prepare. And I sucked so much at the beginning, but yeah, I just copied what they were doing, right? It was like, oh, that phrase sounds smart, right? I say the same phrase when I get asked a question. So I learned from them, so to say, prepared for the interviews and then got offers from all big three. And then I was in the lucky position to actually choose which consultancy I would want to go to.
Amazing. What a wonderful story. And how long did you study for the interview? Like, was it like a 1 month period, 3 months, 6 months?
Yeah, it was 3 months. It was 3 months. Then I went to the first interviews and I did a schedule. So I was having the easier consultancies first, right? Or the tier two, tier three consultancies. Obviously, I don't name any, but like I had my first interviews with them. So to prepare a little bit and then like the ones that I really wanted to go to, I had best. So I had them all scheduled in 1 week or so. And that was like a crazy week, but that was at the very end there.
How was BCG? Was it what you have envisioned? And what is like the most valuable skill that you have learned?
Also, that was very difficult as a start. You got to know, like, I didn't know anything. Right? I didn't know how to open PowerPoint, right? I didn't know how Excel works, like all the stuff. I didn't know any of the business language. I remember I was on my first project and it was a going concern prognosis for a company. And I didn't know what this is. And I was in a project. I probably was like 1 to 2 weeks in and I still didn't know what the project is about, right? So I don't know what I did. I don't know what I was working on, not knowing what actually the whole project is about. So not just I didn't know what I was doing, didn't know what we were doing. So yeah, that was a rough start. And I think it took like 9 months or so until I finally got some land under my feet and that I just like knew what I was doing or had a rough idea what the next day would look like and like what my objectives are. The best skill I think is that I just learned what quality is. The thing is in a consultancy, everything you do, you get feedback on, right? There's nothing you could do that not someone is seeing or reviewing or looking at whatever. And it's very, very instant feedback, constant and instant. So On a typical day, you produce, I don't know, like 3, 4, 5 outputs, whatever it is, right? Some numbers, some slides, an email, a message, and you get a reply immediately. And you know exactly if that was good or bad. So you are able to calibrate fast and early on. And if you have this mindset that you like take on that feedback, and I had this mindset, so then you just improve very fast. And you just get constantly a benchmark. And the benchmark is rising because as you are rising through the ranks, there's more that's expected from you. So it will never stop the feedback, right? And I think that's the most valuable thing.
You've been with BCG for 6 years or so. So probably you're doing something right. And also from this conversation, it kind of seems that you're very comfortable to get into things that you don't know, but you're very good to methodically split that apart and really understand that. So after 6 years, like tell me, how did the idea of AV Medical came into your mind and how did the group form and you're like, heck, you know, now I want to, you know, join this group and start a startup?
At BCG, I was doing a lot of work in the health system, right? For me as a doctor, there was like, I tried to do other things, right? I just wanted to leave that space to not be like the one who has never seen anything else. So I was doing like other projects. But then after a while, I found out like healthcare is one of the sexiest industries you could work in. It's a crazy huge market. There's so much you can do, right? There's so much room for disruption. And I was frustrated with how the system is working. And I was working for different players in the system, always as a consultant. And I just thought like, okay, there's so much you can do, but I knew the only way you could really change it is doing it with your own company, because the existing big corporates, they just have other incentive structures than disrupting, right? And that's natural. And then the idea was growing in my head that, hey, maybe you're going to do something on your own. And then it was just a constellation of stars, so to say, that when it came together. So I remember, like, I planned a leave of absence from BCG for a longer while. And it's like, hey, I'm going to do that, like, at this time of the year. And, like, I blocked the months. And, like, and then I got really into it and do ideation. I already had some ideas, but I wanted to do some business cases around it and be like, hey, is that working or not? Talk to people. And then, like, on my very first day of starting my leave, right? The very first day, it was like, it was fresh. I had my first coffee, no work, right? And then a friend of mine, he introduced me to my co-founder, now co-founder Vlad. He'd be like, hey, Julian, like, you got to talk, right? He's like, he's a smart guy and he wants to do something in healthcare. He's like more like a tech background. He already started a company before that. And you just talk. And it's, yeah, sure. I'm open. And typically, I was really bad at answering messages, right? Because I was so heads down into projects, right? Until literally the Friday before, I was on a project in Middle East and there were crazy times, right? It's like all over the place and like traveling and like didn't even check those things, right? Didn't answer. And then it was like all fresh and I probably answered in 10 minutes. And then I was getting back and I was talking with Vlad on the same day. And at first talking was like, and I didn't like, my expectations were really low, right? I was like, yeah, it's some guy, right? It's some guy who wants to do something in healthcare. And I knew how complex healthcare is. So my expectations were really like, I got time, so let's just do it. And then I was like, this was the first call and it was just like 10, 15 minutes, but I was really impressed. It's like, ooh, like this guy, like he got passion and like he knows what he's doing. That's maybe worth digging into it. And yeah, that's how the team formed.
Amazing. And what is the mission? Tell us a little bit more about AV Medical. What do you guys do? What is the mission? Maybe where you are at the moment and, you know, what is the plan for the future?
Yeah, our mission is to democratize best-in-class medical care for a healthier society. And I just gave you our purpose, right? And I know it's complex, but basically the mission of us is that we see that patients are not treated well enough for the diseases that we have in our society. So most patients suffer from chronic diseases. So what's most prevalent for us are cardiovascular diseases, cancer diseases, autoimmune, mental health diseases. And our system, our health system, is basically set up to cater very good to acute things, right? Something hurts, then you can go to a doctor and like we are good at that. But a lot of things that really determine how old we're going to be, it's not like you wake up and it hurts, but it develops over years and years and decades, right? It's like your high blood pressure, too much cholesterol, not enough exercise, right? Overweight, maybe you're smoking, maybe you're eating too much meat. And so what we are doing, we are building an ecosystem for the patients that serves them with medical care all their life so that we have a proactive management of the health journey. And we believe in two things. We very strongly believe in human interaction. So we are not just building a virtual product, a digital product with our own app that patients can access health whenever they want from their pocket, so to say. But we also believe that humans should be part of this interaction because the connection between humans is so strong and will always be strong no matter how much we look on our phones every day, right? Because it's a human trait that we have very deep in our DNA. So we want to make use of that. Let's use doctors and nurses to help patients lead a healthier life, but just give those doctors, this medical staff, superpowers by developing a technology for them that makes it easier for them to help patients.
This kind of reminds me a little bit of preventive medicine. So instead of kind of treating when the disease is acute, you try to almost prevent it, to be in a relationship with a patient early on, to try to detect all of those signals that you just mentioned that could actually lead to an acute illness.
Exactly, exactly. And it's a lot of things that are like that are easy on paper, but difficult in reality. It's like 50% of medication is not taken as prescribed, right? They just say they are never got from the pharmacy or they lie around at home. So if we help patients actually take the medication, or how many patients would benefit from just eating a bit healthier or moving a little bit more, or maybe just taking this vaccine, the vaccination shot, right? And sometimes it's easy to just not do this appointment or not get the shot or not get this checkup that you would need in order to detect maybe any early form of colon cancer. It's just easy not to do it. So we need to help patients to do those things that have a huge, huge, huge relevance for medical outcomes.
How do you go about to solve this problem and to remain like the top of mind for the patients? Because as you mentioned, like the problem is quite complex. So you have on one hand, nutrition. On the other hand, you have taking your medicine. So the problem is quite complex. How do you go about it that you want to be the preferred companion?
Yeah. So we think about it like an ecosystem aspect. So we want to cover all aspects. And there are a lot of players that have like niche solutions, right? They have, I don't know, like a very nice app that where you can do like a diary on something, or maybe they have a telemedicine service where you can call, right? Or they have a symptom checker that gives you your symptoms, that will provide your symptoms and you get a result. Or you have the individual doctor, right? Which is also a great doctor. But those are all like kind of island solutions that are not connected. And they all together are very, very strong, right? As a patient, sometimes I just want to ask something or I just need a chatbot, right? Sometimes I need to chat with a human being. Sometimes I need to do a video call with a human being. Sometimes I need this digital diary. Sometimes I need to go to a physical doctor. And I want those points of contact to be connected with each other instead of like having this island solution. So this is why we are bringing it together, and we run our own primary care clinics with our own employed doctors, and we build our own software for these doctors and for the patients so that they really have this one thing on their smartphone, and through that they can access health and whatever they need, right? If they need to see someone, if we think, hey, what you're describing right now, we would like to check your blood, and then we can do it, right? We don't have to refer it to someone else, and the kind of the journey breaks, and then it's very easy for the patient to drop out because be like, no, I don't really want to go to this other guy, right? So, but no, it's all Abimedica, right? It's one ecosystem. Mm-hmm.
And give me a sense, as much as you can talk about, like, where are you at the moment? Like, how many patients do you treat? Geos, and maybe what's the plan going forward? And maybe also like, third is like, what is the vision of healthcare? Because you're just so deep into the industry, like what does the ideal system look like in 10 years?
Yeah. So currently we are running 15 clinics in Germany. We're in Munich, Berlin, Hamburg, and we opened up Stuttgart in 2 months. And we have treated, I think, like around 60,000 patients so far with the ramp up. So it's going to be a couple hundred thousand by end of next year. So we are growing pretty quickly. We're working on multiple fronts, right? So one is obviously just growing our footprint, right? Like we want to open up more clinics and employ more doctors, right? Because it's just very important to see our patients. And then at the same time, we're working on our product, right? Just make an easier journey for our patients. And there is a lot of things like, how do you access us? How you do book appointments? How you do an anamnesis from home that prepares the doctor to know what your problem is while you're coming in. And then build an easier follow-up that our doctors be like, hey, I want to see you in, I don't know, 3 to 6 months. And it's very easy for our doctors to just, you know, click on that to get you in again. So those are a lot the product features, like just a few of them that's on our map for the next year. And then there's much, much more to come. In regards to the health system as a whole, I think we need to get to outcome-based medicine, so value-based medicine. Currently, there is no incentive for any player in the system to be rewarded for patients' health. They are all rewarded for processual outcomes or just for doing things or for documenting things, but no one is rewarded for making your patient healthy. And this is what we want to get. And this is something like we do for ourselves. So we want to, like, it makes it more difficult for us, right? But this is what we want to do for ourselves. So we want to go to insurances and be like, hey guys, look, the patients, like your customers as insurance and our patients, they are healthier if they are treated by Abimedica. This is something that we are working towards and that we want to show. And once we can show that, we will be like, hey, maybe it makes sense that everyone is rewarded for better health.
Interesting. Also, I think it's just very hard to align the incentives, because the incentives are, well, like if they're sick, the hospital makes more money. So then like, why should we try to keep you know, everyone healthy. So I think aligning the incentives there definitely makes a lot of sense.
Exactly.
Let's change gears a little bit and let's get personal. What was the most challenging period in your career and how did you overcome it?
I think I had very challenging times in just on a couple of projects that I was working on. The learning that I took from it when I was like kind of integrating, why were those times so difficult? It was always the people I was working with. So it was not the workload, although it might have been high, but it was not the workload alone. It was not the content, what the topic was about. It was not like in which city I was. It was always like, who was I working with in my room all day? And those were the hardest time. If that wasn't a good setup, if I couldn't go home, be like, hey, I like this person or this team, then I had a hard time, right? So that's the most difficult. I think, so that's like very concrete if you look at the projects. And then it was those times where I didn't know what to do. It was those times of transition. It was those times in med school when it's like, hey, I'm not happy here, but I don't really know what the next step will be. And you're still like kind of stuck in that. And the same at BCG was like, hey, BCG, it's a good company, but I don't really want to be here anymore. And I don't know what the next thing is. And it typically, it goes for some months, typically, sometimes up to a year or maybe 2 years. And the learning there for me is just do it faster, right? If you have any sense of gut feeling around that, if you wake up more than a week in a row where you be like, there's something wrong, then do something about it. That's my learning. That's like those two phases in my life. I was carrying it around with me a little bit too long. And so I just know next time I'm in a situation like this, I just do something faster.
How did you develop to trust your gut feeling?
I think just over time, right? You don't know as a younger person. And I think that's okay because you need to develop this trust in yourself. And the only way to develop this trust in yourself is just do things and then find out if it's the right thing for you. I don't think that there's any chance you know by advisors or whatever it is. You just have to do it and then see if it feels well. And if it doesn't, turn around. If it does, then do more of it.
Wonderful. How is the entrepreneurial journey different than what you have imagined? You're at BCG, like, look, I want to do something. The healthcare industry is just so big. There are just so many problems to solve. How is it different than what you have imagined?
I think there's just always the next thing you can do and you want to do, right? It's whatever it is, you can always do something else or make something you already have better or just grow or whatever it is, right? It's never, never, never a stop. And I, like in med school, which is like kind of the first phase in my life, and at BCG, which is like the second phase in my life, there were always like periods and something was actually over, right? There was a semester that was over. It was over, right? I did this exam and I passed the exam and it's like done. And at BCG, at some point of the time, the project was done and it was like over, right? And it, as an entrepreneur, it's never, never, ever over, right? There's like, even if you've done it, you want to do it better, right? So yeah.
So you have to learn to pace yourself because it's a never-ending project.
Yeah.
That you can always do better. You can do better the things that you are doing. You can actually do new things. So you just need to find a good pace.
Yeah, I think it's all about prioritization. That you just be like, okay, there's 100,000 things I could do. What are the three things I actually do now? And then at the same time, like relax to a certain degree, right? Just like, no, like I know I could work all weekend. I know there's like a lot of things I can do, but it doesn't make sense for me. It doesn't make sense for the company if I do things now and then I don't have my head free for the next week. So just like be efficient with yourself.
What is the worst and best advice you have received?
I think the worst advice I got was to do something for someone. On BCG projects, a lot of times it was like, hey, I think this guy is thinking like this or is looking for that. And that makes it really difficult for me also to be free in thinking because you kind of inhibit yourself, right? You do have ideas, obviously, right? You have your own approach. And then you're always stuck in between because in your head, you have two things, right? It's kind of like your one side of the brain is working for yourself, for your own idea. And the other side of the brain is working for what is this other person probably looking for. And the output at the end is catastrophic because it's neither one, right? You would never commit fully to the other person. But you can also not commit to yourself because you always, the one side of the brain is saying, nah, the person wants it different. So my advice is to just go for yourself and be like, this is what I think. And then do it as good as you can, right? Challenge yourself. Like, be very, very confident that you be like, when I deliver this work, then I myself am 100% confident. You can be sure that the other person still has remarks and still has questions and still has other ideas, but you have to be 100% confident with your idea. And then you have a very good foundation to build on that, right? And maybe you throw it away. Maybe you turn it around, but you put a pole in the ground, be like, this is what I think is right. And I can argue it because I dedicated my two sides of the brain to that thought.
Love it. And what about the best advice?
The best advice is just to try out things. I think personally, I think too much through things that could happen. And I had to learn to just do stuff. And I was lucky to have had people around me who advised me, you know what, there's nothing that speaks against doing it. And I still wasn't doing it at some points of time. So that was the best advice, just like giving me confidence, just do it. Like, what could go wrong, right? Like what could go wrong trying out BCG with 25, right? You're 25, it doesn't matter, right? What is 1 year? Same with being an entrepreneur, right? Like, what could go wrong? Like, I'm in a very, very lucky position that I could actually try out things in my life and I could continue a good life with failing. So I, like, people like me need to make use of that, right? And the best advice was like what reflecting that to me, right? Just like mirroring to me, hey, look at yourself, like look what you could do. Why don't you do it? Just do it.
Interesting. And it's also fascinating to see how you grew in your approach, because I would assume that in the first phase of your career, preparing to be a doctor, there are not a lot of things that you can just try out. You really have to over prepare and only do something when you're like 100% certain. But then slowly you kind of grew into the entrepreneur that you are today, that you're not as afraid to fail and you can just try it out. And you probably just balance like, what's the risk if this fails? And if it's not a big risk, why not just do it?
Exactly. And like, I'm coming from a very privileged family, right? So I know that. But at the same time, it's also a family where new ideas are not typically embraced, right? Because it's just like how my parents or how my family was surrounded, right? What's the environment that my family has that was like not an environment where like opportunities are welcomed. So, and this is kind of like how I grew up and how I learned it, no matter how materially privileged we were. And like, this was a mindset that didn't really help me at the beginning and that I had to unlearn to a certain degree.
It's amazing. Also, like every time that I speak with maybe with an American friend, they are just such a big risk takers. They see like they don't take risk that seriously. So also I think we as Europeans, I think just in general, were maybe a little bit more conservative and we should be a little bit more risk takers. And at the end, if Julian from 10 years ago would listen to this episode, what would you tell him?
I tell him like, life's good. It will work out, right? It's like, relax. It's always gone well. I probably worry too much. And if I look back at any 5 or 10 year period over in my life, like you do with stocks since the Second World War, I know like 90% have been positive and all like 10% or 1% has been negative. And this is something that people tend to forget and I tend to forget. So I would just tell myself like, hey, you got it, right? Like you will fail a couple of times, but you'll succeed like always one time more. So just continue what you're doing and you'll be fine and take a good night's sleep and like relax on the weekend.
You got it. I'm just going to cut this audio piece and I'm just going to send like this 5 seconds or 10 seconds and you can just replay it when you feel stressed or like overly thinking. Thank you so much for taking the time, Julian. I know that you have to jump off. Very, very much appreciate it.
Kellen, thank you so much for this.